So, Hits Live, can y'all make some noise right now? You've been waiting for her, and she's finally here. Give it up one time for Iggy Azalea!
Yes, girl. Looking so fabulous. You get to sit right there in the middle, the center of attention.
That is the best dress I've ever seen.
How do we like that, ladies and gentlemen? Tony Montana right there representing for the 305.
Well, she's here. You guys have been waiting. Make some noise for Iggy Azalea. Yeah, I think they're in shock right now, Iggy.
I know, right?
I don't know, but here, we'll switch it.
He's super loud, so he can just yell for a second. Okay. I got to tell you, Iggy, our Twitter has been going absolutely bananas since we announced that you were going to be in town. They've been using the hashtag HitsLive with Iggy, and you have got some probably of your biggest fans in the world sitting in this audience today. So again, a big round of applause for yourselves. They love them some Iggy Azalea, girl. I got to tell you.
Oh, well, I love me some you, so thank you.
Now, girl, you've been in Miami. You've been hanging out. Obviously, we had Miami Pride going down on South Beach.
Yeah.
So how has it felt to be back in the 305, you being a Miramar girl, a Miami girl?
You know, I always say it's very nostalgic when I get to come back here. And unfortunately, I don't really get enough excuses to be able to come back and visit. So I was really excited that this trip I got to actually spend a couple of days here and not just be in and out and in a hotel. And we got to get out and you know, enjoy the city. And I met up with some of my old friends. I got to introduce them to my new friends. So I really enjoyed it.
That sounds like a great record, Laz, don't you think?
For Miami. I think they made it.
Sounds like a Miami record.
Hey, let me ask you this. Since, you know, you spent a little bit of time here, what's one of your favorite places to come back to when you come back to South FLA?
Well, I'm really terrible because you guys know I love Pollo Tropical, and I just go there.
Pollo!
Who doesn't?
Pollo! Yeah.
What's your favorite thing at Pollo?
Well, I'm so mad because my favorite thing is the tropical wings, and then they stopped serving them here like a year ago.
Oh, Pollo!
But those no skewers are all off the chain. Wait till
you taste
those.
They have a lot of other things. Ooh. But those were just my number one on the menu. And I was like, why would you do this to me? But I can still get them other places. But all of my friends in Miami, so they were like so sad about it.
No, that's my dude's favorite too. Always.
Yeah, they were like,
always.
You have to say something to them about it. Like, it's not fair. It's playing with people's lives. You can't just put them on the menu and take them off the menu.
Wait a minute, that's their Iggy Azalea card that they want to pull. Not, can you get me to meet so-and-so, or can you get me in the studio?
What's
can you please
wings?
Call Pollo and get them to put the wings back on the menu,
yeah,
Iggy?
Yeah, I need a petition or something. I got to start one.
We're going to start Iggy's petition tomorrow morning on the DJ Laz Morning Show.
Now,
okay?
Iggy, before we jump into this interview, I got to ask you, so we don't ask, right? What is the most commonly asked question that you get?
I don't know. You know what? This time around, I have been getting some different questions, which is good. But I think my last album, the biggest question I got all the time, which maybe is valid but became very annoying, was, what's it like being a female rapper? Mm. And I was always like, oh, my God. I don't know. I've never had a penis, so I'm not sure.
That's a great answer. I wouldn't know how to be any other kind of rapper, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a weird thing to ask. But I got asked it a lot, and I haven't got asked it at all this year. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. Well, so to clarify, clearly Iggy does not know what it feels like to be a male rapper. So
no,
why should she have to answer the other question?
Exactly.
That's a great thing. Here's a question for you, Iggy. Because a lot of people in your position, people put them up as role models, mm-hmm. right? Do you consider yourself a role model?
No, maybe a success model, but
ooh.
I don't know.
I
role
like that.
Model.
Round of applause.
Definitely.
I don't know. I don't think there's one way to live or one like moral compass that should dictate everybody's thing. So I don't think I'm doing anything crazy that you shouldn't let your kids see. But at the same time, your moral compass depends on each person's perception of what they think is okay or not. So mm-hmm. I don't know that I want to like be that one thing, but I definitely want to be something people can look to and be inspired by my success or my determination and those things for sure.
Well, I think you definitely do that. And speaking of your success and your determination, it has led to you to your second album.
Yes.
Of course, Digital Distortion, which comes out in June of 2016. Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, I know we had somebody ask on Twitter if you could describe Digital Distortion in one word, what would it be?
In one word. Well, we always would say in the studio, I don't know if I can cuss though, but would be like, it's not F you, it's F yeah.
I like that. Well, you know, how many people here love the single Team, right? We've all heard it, right?
Thank you.
You know, we were listening to it in our morning show office downstairs before you got here. And there's a sense of empowerment and authority that you're rapping with.
Yeah.
Especially on that song.
Well, the whole album feels like that, which is why I say not F you, but F yeah. It just feels aggressive, but it still feels fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like an air of confidence and assertiveness that my first album didn't have. But I think that just comes with, with success and kind of having been around the block. And it takes time to like really get that confidence that I have now.
For sure. Now, I want to ask you, you know, just as a musician, obviously, we get our inspiration from all kinds of places. So if you had to give me somebody from the past, the present, and the future, as far as who you love to listen to from back in the day, who you're currently rocking with, to use our girl Lulu and Lala's term, and then who we should maybe be on the lookout for in the future, well, who would those people be?
I'm boring. I say the same people, but I can't change who I used to listen to. I loved Outkast. I love Missy Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to say some Miami people. I loved Trick Daddy and Trina.
T-Double.
Like, those were definitely my jam.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that. Yeah. Currently, who do I like? You know what? It's weird. I kind of don't mind Fetty Wap this summer. At first, I was like,
Fetty, you can't understand what he's saying, but it's okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I didn't want to get into it. And then this summer, I'm like, I've just let go like of my inhibitions. I'm like, I'll just like love it. It's fine. So, I actually I don't mind his songs. I think I actually like them.
You and a lot of the world. I mean, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, I like him. I think it's fun. His music is fun and very summer. It's easy to sing along to. So he's good. And I really like Kendrick's the Unmastered thing that he just put out. Yeah, Untitled Unmastered. I thought that was really great as well. And then somebody to look out for, I think Anderson .Paak is a really cool artist that's up and coming that I just think is like the dopest because he's such a good mix of still being able to have fun, but he's very intelligent. And sometimes I think people can get so caught up in trying to be lyrical or be conscious or say smart things that they lose like the fun or feel goodness of music. And Anderson .Paak combines those two things so, so well. So I really like him. I think he's somebody to look out for.
Great answers.
At the end of the day, to have a hit record, it's one of those things that they gotta love. They gotta be able to sing along
exactly,
with it.
Exactly, exactly. And like, you know, everybody likes a smart guy, but if he's smart and funny, that's like the ultimate. So you want that in an artist too. You don't, you want to have that escapism and be able to have a laugh, have a good time. And I think Anderson .Paak is somebody who's obviously very intelligent, very talented, but also doesn't take himself too seriously.
Too smart loses the room sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I was going to say, do we have any questions from out here? Come on. Introduce yourself. So you want to have a seat right here? You can sit with me. Okay, let's go.
Okay.
He about to steal the mic.
Hi, I'm Osher.
Hi.
I have two questions.
Okay.
First, is there any chance that there's a feature of Demi on your album? And can you speak about your friendship with her?
I don't know if she's on my album yet or not. Because there's this one song that I just haven't figured out who the girl singer is going to be. And, of course, Demi could always be it because she can just hit every note.
Yeah.
Yes.
She can, like, really sing. So she can sing. Not sing, sing. So I think, of course, she always could. I know she would because she's my friend. But I'm wary of collaborating too soon after I just had a collaboration. So I don't know if it would be too soon or not with that, but I'm still kind of up in the air about who's going to go on this one record. So it's a possibility that she might wind up on it, just because I know I can always like run down to her house and be like, please. And she'll do it for me. But I love Demi as a friend. We really connect on a lot of things. And she's gone through a lot. She's very young, but she's been through it. And so we kind of like just, I guess, help each other when we're going through stuff, and then also eat a lot of food. And I always take her off her diet plan. She'll be like, don't tell Wilmer I didn't eat my meal today, because I make her eat pizza every time. Yeah, but she's awesome.
And can I also get a selfie with you, please?
A selfie, sure. Why not, while you're here?
Ah, see, snuck it in.
He's
that
he's
ocean.
Slick. This is a video.
Yeah, I know, so I can pause it. Thank you.
You're smart. I've
nice
never seen
job. That
before.
Was
nice way to work that in there, Osh.
I was like, he's gonna use that as his reel. He's the next guy on E! News or something. Yeah.
Gotta give him that one. Listen, Nicolette, where's Nicolette at?
Hi. Hey, Nicolette.
Up, Nicolette. We actually had you write down your question, but now that you're up here.
Yes, I like to see. Ha ha. All my people, go ahead.
Okay. Do you have any advice for a singer before they go on stage? Like, do you do anything specific?
You know what? I think sometimes you can be on stage, and this would happen to me all the time in the past. I would just have what I call a brain fart, and I'd just forget the words and be like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, we've seen the memes. So now I really like to just take a moment to myself. And even though you obviously know the song, when you get out there, sometimes it can just all leave you. So I like to just get someplace quiet and go over my first song, say it in my mind, and then nobody talk to me, and go out and get it right. Yeah, so I think it's good. Even if you know something super well, even if you wrote it yourself, you can still forget it. And it's good to just have that quiet moment and just go over the lyrics and make sure you've got it all together.
Right, thank
nice
you.
Nice question, Nicolette.
Gabby. Do we have Gabby here? Come on, Gabby.
Come on, this is like The Price is Right. Come on down.
Come on
Gabby.
Down. Okay. Yeah, we want to play you back on the radio.
Yeah.
So. If not, it's like over here. Go.
So what is your writing style like? Like, do you have a specific type of routine that you go through, or is it just like however it comes out?
It's kind of the same every time. I'll hear the beat. And then, like, just do a bunch of mumbling over it, like, whatever I think, you know, the melody pattern should be. And I'll just go in the booth and do, like, as many different melodies as I can think of. And by melody, I also mean just rhyme pattern for whatever a verse would be, too. And I just say as many different patterns as I can think of. And then we'll all collectively, me and the guys that I'm working with as producers, we'll go through them. There might be like 30 of them, or sometimes even more than that, and listen to each different melody pattern that I tried out, and we'll narrow it down to what we think the best one or two is. And that's what I'll end up putting lyrics to. So it's kind of like lyrics second and melody first. Yeah, and the lyrics can take time. I might put some lyrics to something, come back a couple of days later and think, what was I thinking? Or I like this part of it, but not another part. And so once you get the melody, then it just becomes this puzzle of trying to put the right words into whatever that flow or melody pattern was. And that's how I write every time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I gotta tell you, Laz, I used to think that what we did took a skill, but I mean, at the end of the day,
oh no, they got it.
All of them are coming for our jobs up here.
Hey, this is good. When we go on vacation, we're gonna turn the station over to the listeners. Have you guys do the morning show for a week? Sound good? Yeah.
You guys can just write all our questions for us now. Iggy, you and Laz share something in common. Mm-hmm. You both have a love-hate relationship with social media.
Oh, good.
For sure.
I'm yeah. there with you, girl. Yeah.
So I do have to ask you, in your opinion, what is the best aspect of social media? Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all of that.
I like the social. I don't like the media. That's
I'm
what
right
I think.
There with you.
Yeah.
So
I like interacting with people on there, but the blog media element of it I don't like seeing. So if I could have social media and not have to see people's blog posts coming up on my feed, then that would be ideal.
You do realize that, and I learned this one myself, that if they're not talking about you, then you ain't doing something.
Oh no,
right.
I know. It's just my what my preference would be, though.
For sure.
Yeah.
They can talk. Just I don't want to see it.
For sure, I don't want to see it. I don't want. What is it? The little monkeys? You know the emojis? Yeah. The hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Yeah. That's become my new favorite thing to text people. But with that said, have you ever second guessed yourself or a decision that you made because of what you see on social media? Mm. And I say that because you have so many fans, so many people feel the need to weigh in on the things that you do. So
not really, because I mean, sometimes people can say something, and then you go to their page, and you're sort of like, "You're basic, so I don't care what your opinion is. I wouldn't want to be like you anyway." It's true.
I'm in love with Iggy Azalea.
It's like taking
right now.
Style advice from someone you just would never want to dress like, and it's like. Don't really care.
You're lost. Okay. You get like 10 tweets in and you're like, just, okay.
Some people you want to dislike it. It's like, oh, good. You dislike it. Great. You know, I'd be worried if you did. I don't think that. I have my friends that whose creative opinions I trust. And also I do look at like my core fan base and see, because they'll be honest, sometimes they'll have their criticisms, they'll say, I like the performance, but I think this could have been a little better. Those are things I'd take on board, but just random people out here in the world, like, giving you advice, I don't know about that.
Those are idiots that hide behind their screen name.
It's like, we may as well call up Psychic Hotline and just, like, let random people tell us our future. We just, we don't know these people. You can't do that.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's a great way to look at
madness.
It.
Madness.
This goes right along with what we're talking about. I think it's Leah. Leah, you here? Okay. Hey. Oh, I got all of you in a row here.
Row right here.
Good Lord. You sure you guys didn't? Would you like me to ask a question or you want to come up here and do it? Okay. She said, how do you deal with annoying people, a.k.a. the haters?
It's easy now because I don't look at anything they say, so I don't really have to deal with them. Now it's more me trying to tell my fans, stop interacting. But I understand because I obviously interacted a lot with them last year. So I know how draining it is. So I see a lot of the times my fans trying to defend me to those people. And it kind of takes away the joy of the performance or just them enjoying it. And so I don't really see what they say anymore. I have to deal with it. Because that's my personal choice, but I always try to say to them, like, hey, trust me, you're, like, bumping your head against a brick wall with these people. You're never going to convince them. Just find people or type my name in if you're a fan and find somebody that said they did like the performance and, like, make friends with that person and don't find the person that didn't and be like, well, you're stupid. It's just a waste of your energy. So, yeah.
Just gives. It's like fuel to the fire. That's all, exactly. And that's what they're looking
for.
They're looking for a reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
From you or from your fans. That's what they want. They want to stir the pot and be, ha, 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 got you. Got them all pissed off. No. Mind your business. Look, somebody here in the audience asked, do you plan or would you plan on doing a collabo with Mr. Worldwide Pitbull, which is my nephew, by the way?
Yeah, it's funny because we just said that in the car. My friend in the car was like, what would you do if Pitbull called you up and asked you to do a song? Of course I would do it. Yeah, his song's like high energy and fun, and I think mine are too, so I think it'd be a good collaboration.
Be a great Miami collab.
I think I know somebody that can make that happen.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Now, I got to ask you, because obviously we're talking a lot about your collaborations, and you've got quite a list, but what I love is you always collaborate with big women, you know, I mean, Demi Lovato, Rita Ora, Britney Spears, Jennifer Lopez, Ariana Grande. So there's definitely no love lost. And it seems like you really embrace other women who are successful and who are on a similar path to you. But I have to ask, you have another great friend, Kesha, obviously.
Yeah.
And she's going through a really tumultuous time right now. But can we talk, especially because we have a lot of young ladies out here in the audience and clearly a few who want to be in this business, about how difficult it can be for a young, beautiful woman in this business, because it's not the same journey that the men take.
No, it's not. I think it's really unfortunate, and I've said this before, that Kesha's story is a really common story in the music industry, and it's one that's not spoken about often, mm-hmm. because you kind of like everybody turns their back on you. It's a really a lot of like males making the decisions behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and it's just not something that they want to have to deal with or acknowledge is happening. But whether you're a superstar like Kesha or just a regular woman, you probably will find, yeah. if you have talent, it's really common that you'll end up having somebody manipulate you or try to manipulate you into thinking you're really special, getting in a relationship with you, telling you they have some great super way that they can help you and ensure you're going to get everything. And then they'll tell you to sign a piece of paper. And then when you figure out what's going on, you want to get out of it, you're not going to be able to, because the law is the law. And that's just unfortunate. Me and Kesha have talked a lot about trying to work on changing legislations to protect young women in music. And it's just a story that you see over and over and over again. And unfortunately, it's not talked about. So women don't really know what to look out for. And everybody wants success. They want it straight away. And so it's just so easy to bait somebody with that carrot in front of their face. And it makes it so much more complicated and difficult to get what you really want. And I think a lot of young, talented women never even get the opportunity to really get that first single out or even get that major label deal because they're so caught up in this kind of thing. So me and Kesha have actually talked a lot about trying to put something in a legislation or a law somewhere that says if you're in some kind of relationship or sexual relationship with somebody that you're in a contract with, it should change the terms, because they do have a law that you can't be married to somebody and give them like a quote unquote bad contract, but there's nothing about you just being in a mm-hmm. relationship. And so that's when I think people really come in and take advantage of young women that really want success. And so we're all, and a lot of other people that are out there supporting Kesha, trying to work on exactly what that would be, what it would look like, how it would be worded, and trying to make it happen to protect other young women that are aspiring to be entertainers.
Well, yeah, and it's a horrible situation, but, you know, hats off to Kesha. And please, the next time you talk 100%. To her.
Yeah, 100%. You know, she's super brave, and it's just unfortunate 100%. That when you come out and say something like that, people question, mm-hmm. is it real? Was she just trying to get out of her deal? I can tell you right now, there are a million other ways to get out of your record deal than to say that. That mm-hmm. makes it incredibly hard, and nobody would come out and say that and know the backlash that yeah. you're going to receive internally. Behind closed doors, it's a backlash that nobody that is very silent. Nobody ever sees it. People just stop returning your phone calls, and it's tough. So I hope people don't doubt her or her story, because it takes a lot of courage for her to come out and publicly say that and have to go through that. So I support her 100%.
Well, and thank you for that, and thank you on behalf of women for just taking that stand and trying to break down that barrier and make people aware, because it's serious. Is Jamie here? Jamie, is there a Jamie? Jamie is one of
your
super
fans.
Come
on
up. I saw Jamie yesterday at the Pride Festival.
Yes, so you guys are like old friends. Jamie, come ask your question, because I have it on this little cue card here, but you can ask it yourself.
Well, I have two. I don't know. Okay. Well, I'm from like Stan Twitter, so I wanted to ask a question that everybody wanted me to ask. It's like okay. I put a poll. So they said... They wanted this question specifically. Do you enjoy sipping tea with us during real Azalean hours?
Yes, of course I do.
Because like, we always, you know how it is with all of us. And
yeah, even though
really
you always get me into trouble.
Yeah.
Because I end up on a blog with you all.
It gets messy. Yeah. And we just
but it's fun.
It's fun. Okay. Do you mind if I ask another question about Pride? What did you enjoy most about the Pride event?
Most about Pride. I don't know. I just thought there was like a great positive energy, and like a lot of the times when you get that many people together, there'll be fights or people are like drunk and belligerent, and it just gets kind of crazy. But I didn't really see any of that going on at Pride. There was a weird calmness about it all, even though everybody was super excited and into it.
It was hype, but
I felt safe. Like I could walk around the crowd with everyone and say hi. And so that's what I loved about it the most. Just it's really tough to get that many people together and like add alcohol into the mix and for it to not to get wild and out of control. And it was wild and out of control, but not in that way. And I really like that about it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, nice job, Jamie.
All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple. I'm just going to say words.
Okay.
Okay. And I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind and it's probably going to be people, okay? Okay. So don't feel bad to take shots here. This is where we like to take shots.
No.
Diva.
Mariah Carey.
Snapchat.
Dog. Obviously.
Twitter beef.
I don't know. I know somebody, but I'm not going to say.
What do you think when you hear Kardashians?
I don't know. Blank. I like them, but nothing comes up. That's not shade. I don't know.
Rihanna.
That wasn't shade. Rihanna. I think she's cool. She's just like the epitome of cool.
I can see you guys hanging out.
Yeah, I met her once years ago backstage at a...
That would be a good song. A good little collabo there.
Well, I love Rihanna, but I don't know. She's so cool, I would never even dare ask because I wouldn't want to get turned
down. Well,
if
she's listening to the new hits 97.3, maybe she'll just extend the offer.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I'm available.
I know some producers that worked with her, Iggy and Rihanna on a record. Hello!
Yeah.
Miami.
Nostalgic. Yeah, I think.
Elaborate a little bit.
Well, obviously, it was the first place that I lived when I moved to America, and that's like a gigantic, like, life change to come and move to another place that you've never even been before. So I just think I sort of, like, got hit in the face with a different culture. And so it's very nostalgic. There's a lot of memories attached to this place.
You fit right in, I want you to know.
Oh, well, thank you.
Good Lord, you fit right in. When I saw her walk in, I'm like, she's Cuban, for sure. Eso tiene que ser cubana, asegúrate.
I was going to say, and, you know, we had a lot of questions, obviously. You've been talking a lot about relationships lately. You still got on your big, beautiful ring.
Yeah, of
now,
course.
There's a lot of young women out here who aspire to be like you or to be like a lot of women that they see on television, you know, dating athletes or entertainers.
Yeah.
You know, do you have any words of advice or any insight as to what that really comes with? Because it's a lot more than just the nice cars and the red carpets.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I can have those on my own. Mm-hmm. So it's not about that with my relationship. But I think I will say... it's just depends on the person. Yeah, I think dating anybody who's a public figure or just has a lot of power is going to come with potentially more problems. But I don't think that that means you should be an emotional doormat for somebody or just allow somebody to do whatever they want to do because they're an athlete or they're an entertainer. Absolutely not. Not every entertainer or athlete is out there doing those kinds of things. It really is... A rainbow spectrum of people that I've met and that I've witnessed in their personal relationships. And it just depends on the relationship and the person. But I think there's kind of this weird thing where we go along and just act like it's fine. Or you should expect it if you're a woman to like have a relationship where you're getting cheated on if you're dating. No, don't expect that. There are people out there that absolutely are faithful in their relationships and are still doing those things. But also, I think relationships aren't just disposable. People are human. And I think you just have to assess each situation differently. Don't let somebody walk all over you. But also, if you've built a life with someone or you really love someone or think that they are genuinely sorry, then you should consider forgiving them because that's... what you're going to have to do if you want to be with someone for 40 years or 50 years. You're going to make your mistakes and they'll make theirs. And maybe it's not always infidelity. It might be something else. Relationships are complicated, but don't just toss it all to the wind over the smallest thing. And also don't let that little thing keep happening and just say, oh, well, it's part of his job. It's not. Don't let that. No, absolutely not.
Girl, you're literally about to make me cry. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
No, but it's funny. And P.S., I heard a little birdie tell me that you will cut a portion of someone's pee-pee off, too.
Yeah, I told him that. I was like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because I don't see any hard evidence in the court here tonight. But if I get any hard evidence, you are leaving with a piece chopped off.
Can we not say hard evidence talking about cutting off the junk? I'm
I will.
Just saying.
He knows. I was like, you escaped on thin ice. I trust you. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but he knows I'm crazy.
You are.
A little
Black
bit
Widow,
of
baby. Black
stop.
Widow.
By the way.
Situationally.
Okay, no.
When I found out, he locked me out of the bedroom and left me a note on the door that said, "I'm sorry, but you're crazy and I'm scared of what you might do."
Right here. And he should
That's
be.
That's what Thanks. I'm talking about. Yes. Let him know. See?
No.
Go.
This is not good.
I'm sorry. Can we do one last question from the audience? One last question. I'm going to take you right here and then, my goodness gracious.
Hello.
Oh, he already bowed. I liked that. Did you see that?
I liked that, too. It was a curtsy.
It was. That was fabulous.
Hi. Okay, so I've always wanted to ask this because it was my favorite song of your previous album. What fueled the actual idea of Lady Patra?
Well, you know what? I was working with Ruck City, and we did a lot of different songs, and that was one of them. I've kind of always loved the whole Caribbean sound, especially coming from Miami and hearing it a lot here. I love things that you can dance to and move to, and that's something I've always wanted to incorporate but didn't know how. So when I got with Ruck City and he was kind of like showing me all of his like just badass women from where he's from and that he listened to growing up, and I discovered Lady Patra, I was like, oh my God, like, she's amazing!
Yeah, because I always wondered if it was more of like an alter ego that was like super empowering or something.
No, I think it's just, well, kind of. I just think Lady Patra is a person. I mean, the song is about Lady Patra. Who it's about.
Let me tell you, because me and my mom, we bumped to it.
Well, I just love her. I just think she's so cool, and I don't know, she's just so badass to me. So I just wanted to shout her out, and then it ended up being an entire like song about her.
Yeah, because I mean, dance worthy. Grinding, bumping,
thank
twerking.
You.
You covered you. It.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
well,
boy.
There you go. No, and big shout out to R City. They're amazing.
Yes.
We had them
yeah,
for
I
our hit
them.
Sessions, and they're super, super talented.
Yeah, I wrote with them on this album as well for Digital Distortion. I called them back, and they've got their own thing going on
yeah.
now, which I'm really proud about. But those guys are awesome.
Super talented. Well, you're super awesome.
Oh, thank you.
And honestly, I mean, was this not amazing, guys?
Thank you,
Yo,
guys.
It's like being in the living room and Iggy Azalea is just chilling with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.